Calvary. How many of you glad you're saved today? If you're saved, you're glad. I promise you that much. Let me say by way of announcement, please come to the revival tonight. There's several of you that I know you've got commitments and things that you do, but man, that choir was on fire this morning. I appreciate Brother Lewis and I appreciate Brother Scott being able to sing in the choir, because a lot of times Brother Scott's leading and you don't get to participate. I saw him back there. He looked like a possum up top of a persimmon tree sitting up there grinning. But he was just letting it go because he don't get to be a part. And Macy said one time, it'd be nice if somebody else would play the piano once in a while. She said, I'd just like to get in the choir and sing. But she's singing at the piano. But anyway, back up your choir, back up your church. But greater than that, back up the Lord. I mean, bless God, you're saved by His grace. Why would you not want to be where the Spirit of God is rich and just flowing? Come on in, Brother Jody. Come on in. But it is good to be back in the Lord's house. Billy, it's good to have you and Jenny and the family back with us. I guess you've got your new baby with you. I can see the little one, but Jenny's got the baby. Okay, well, it's good to see them back. Good to have some visitors with us. If you call yourself a visitor, by all means, I trust and pray that somebody's already made you feel welcome, because surely you are. We're going over to the book of Ephesians this morning. We'll be in the book of Ephesians and be in chapter number 5. I preached a message along these same lines some time ago, but man, I can't get away from it, so we're just going to trust God with it yet again. And every time that I preach a scripture, it always changes up on me. And God knows what He's doing and who's going to be here. You might not have even been here the last time that I preached, and He's wanting to run this by you. But like I said, we sing Amazing Grace again and again and again. It's always good, because God's grace is amazing. Get yourself the bulletin. Stay close to it. Look at all the events coming up. I'm not going to reiterate those. I will give you a couple quick prayer requests, and that being for Sister Waylene. She's still in Wilkes Regional, and also Brother Donnie. He's been released again from Forsyth and will now continue his recovery. Brother Tim, Brother Woody, Brother Archie, those having chemos and radiation, don't forget them. But moreover, that one which is the greatest need of a prayer is the one that's lost and on their way to a devil's hell. And you say, don't say people's on their way to hell. That's what's going on. They're headed toward hell if they don't get saved. And they stand in the greatest need of prayer. For many of you that know my background and know my history, you know that I was in the service. And then while I was in the military, I was a law enforcement specialist. And then beyond that, I did the BLET thing and thought I was going into law enforcement. And I've seen a whole lot of drunk people. Brother Joe being on the former highway patrolman, Brother Potts being retired highway patrolman, Brother Ken being a retired police chief, and others throughout the congregation that may have been at one time or another, been in and around law enforcement. We grew up, the five of us boys, we grew up in a police department from the time we could walk. We'd get each other back there and lock each other up in jail and wouldn't let each other out, because they had a jail cell down at the police department. My dad was a captain of the police force, and we spent a whole lot of time around the police department. And man, we've seen a lot of stuff. But then later on in life, as I got to, I thought that was going to be my chosen career path, but God had other plans for my life, and I just gave up on the law enforcement, just let it go to the wayside. But there were some characteristics and of the drunk people, and there's a term that goes, if I say that somebody, Brother Tommy, was fighting at the court square, kept calling the women because they were inebriated and had too much to drink, they may be considered what? Drunk and what? Drunk and disorderly. I want us today to be drunk and orderly. That'd be all right. You'll find that in the scriptures. We're going to find it right here in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. And if you'll stand and give reverence, reading God's word. I got somebody behind me, amen, and pretty strong. I like it too, whoever it is. If that's you, Brother John, keep it up. Folks, when you get saved by God's grace, let's square this up really quickly. When you get saved by God's grace, the indwelling and everything takes place at that one time. We don't wait until 50 days for something to take place. We don't go into a process. We don't have a nicotine patch or a grace patch. It slowly drips that stuff into your system. When you get saved by God's grace, the old man dies out. The new man comes in. The Holy Spirit takes up His abode in your life. And there He remains until that day that He calls you His chosen vessel. You're saved by God's grace. And He resides with you until He calls you home. And then your body goes back to the grave. But bless God, God, that soul which was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, it goes back to God the Father, which saved it and redeemed it from the curse of the law. So and when I say this today, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God and you don't feel it, you say, well, I've been saved, preacher, but I don't feel like you do. I see Preacher Kenny and Preacher Scott and Preacher Chris and Preacher Troy, and I see you, Pastor, and I'll see Brother Pope tonight, and I see how excited you get and how you get worked up, and I see Preacher John up here praising the Lord, and I see people getting excited, but I just don't feel that. Bless God, I'm praying right now that my Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that saved me, will just fill you up. Amen. And bless God that you might get drunk and orderly. When you get drunk and orderly, you're going to do some things. The Bible said, let everything be done decently and in order. I'm not talking about getting outside of God's will. I'm not talking about getting in God's way. I'm not talking about doing stupid stuff. I've seen some dumb stuff. I've seen some things done in the local assemblies of the churches in this county that just blew my mind. And I'm not talking about doing foolish stuff. Bless God, foolishness will be left on the outside. Let's just let God have His way, though. Bless God, the very fact, and I'll let you sit down a minute, the very fact that I stood where Larry Dale Ross is standing, and I looked down here and I saw Brother Steve Fall open up the Sunday school this morning, that shows me something. And I'm not pinning rose on you, Steve. I'm giving credit to the Holy Ghost that saved you right over there in that corner, because He hath enabled you to stand right here. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, you're doing something that 5 years ago would not have happened. You'd have been at home. Here we are in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Let's just read just a little bit of scripture this morning and try to give reverence to the reading. The Bible says in verse number 1, but as ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice for us and to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it be not once named among you as become saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is that acceptable unto the Lord. And we have no fellowship with the unfaithful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. And let me say something right there. Did y'all realize that April Fool's Day falls on a special day for the Christian community? When does April Fool's Day fall this year? Easter. What happened on Easter? Bless God, on that Sunday morning, bless God, death, hell was defeated. And bless God, our Savior resurrected from the grave to live forevermore. But what has the fool said? The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And those things coincide this year, April Fool's Day with Easter. I just thought that was something. But anyway, that didn't cost you extra. It said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk. Listen to this. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another In the fear of God. Brother Kenny, ask God to bless our scripture reading, my friend. Man, later on, while I was in the time of my law enforcement career, they changed the term of being under the influence or driving under the influence under that of driving while impaired. When somebody is living under the influence or they are drunk, so to speak, there's a few things that take place in that person, Brother Tim. And those things that take place are namely this. And I've seen it in the Christian walk too. And I'm thanking God for it, Brother Tommy, because if I was not under the influence of the Holy Spirit right now, Brother Potts, I'd sit down. If I was not having my Holy Spirit, Brother Tim, fill me up and thrill me up. The preachers that's coming up with me, Brother Kenny and them, I come out of that Sunday school class, man. I don't remember being so nervous, Brother Tim. It was awful this morning. I felt like I had 1,000 gerbils turned loose in my stomach, Miss Jenny. I mean, them things are going, I'm got crazy sick this morning. And I'm not throwing up or anything. I'm just saying my nerves were a racket this morning. Why would I get up, Brother Tommy, in front of 200 plus people and open up this blessed book, Brother John, if I was not being filled with the Holy Spirit of God and I was not under His influence, bless God. I like being under the influence of the Almighty. I like walking in His Word. I like preaching His Word. I like telling other people about Jesus. And Brother Tam just told us back in the prayer circle, even this past week or two, bless God, at the young age of what, 75 or 80, whatever your daddy is, bless God, he's still filled up with Jesus and he's still got the unction to lead people to Jesus. And brother, the power of God has never left him, nor will it ever leave him. And I believe as long as your daddy got a little preaching in him, somebody gonna get preached to. Bless God, there was a man on his deathbed, and his daddy led him to the Lord, and then he passed away within a couple hours. That man's standing before God. Now, bless God, I'm glad there's a few people that still get drunk on the Spirit of God and get under the influence of the Almighty. That's not ashamed of what people might say about them. Bless God, they can speak all manners of evil against you, Brother John, but it's not what people say. It's what God knows, and that's why you got to just rear back and preach it, brother. Tell it like it is. If it hurts the devil, never demon in hell, we've got a job to do, and that's to tell people how good our Savior is. One of the most notable things, and I'll go to the scriptures here in a minute and find you a few things. Whenever you're finding somebody that's under the influence or somebody that's drunk and disorderly, Brother Tim, one of the first things is their speech. Brother Joe, will that speech not give them away every time they start thinking and thunking? They can't even walk straight. They do their ABCs and there's A, C, D, B, X, Y, Z. And bless God, they might get half of them right. They might not. But one of the first places it shows up is in their speech. That's just a given. Am I right, Chief? It shows up in their speech. Have you ever noticed anybody that used to be filled with vulgarities and cursings and slander? That's one of the first things, Brother Jared. They's all about the foul language of this world and everything that was ungodly was spewing out. First thing it changes, bless God, when somebody gets under the influence of the Almighty, their speech changes. Amen. Bless God, a drunk man, Troy, he'll slur his words and he'll say things that he don't know what he's saying. He'll cry 1 minute and laugh the next. That drunk man, he's under the influence of whatever's controlling him. Bless God, I want to be controlled the Almighty. And whenever He controls me, Brother Charles, bless God, my speech will change. And I'll start talking the things of grace and of glory. I'll start talking, Brother Robbie, of honor and giving God the due reward that He's due. He's worthy of our praise this morning. Your speech and your manners of conversations will soon change when you get under the influence of the Almighty. Chad, get drunk, but stay orderly in that. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Let God do something for you. Let God do something for me. Look into the scriptures real quick. We're going to move very quickly here. But if you're still in the book of Ephesians, just stay right in there. Just flip back one page. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, and verse number 3, it says these words. It said, among whom also we had our conversation in times past. Look what the time past conversation was, Brother Tim. We all had a past. If you've ever been saved by God's grace, bless God, you've still got a past. You don't have to dwell in it. Don't live in it. Don't even give it any thought. But once in a while, Brother Tim, the Lord will run that remembrance through your mind. And bless God, you can just start thanking Him the same as Paul did. Because in times past, my conversation wasn't about God. It was about whatever else was on. Look what Paul said to the church at Ephesus. He says in verse number 2, in times past, we walked according to the world, the course of the world, according to the prince and the power of the air, which is Satan himself, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But listen to this. Is it among whom also we had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by very nature the children of wrath, even as others. Do you see that? We all had a speech, and that speech was worldly speech. It was vain conversation. It was things that were not edifying unto the Lord. It was things that was tearing down rather than exalting. Bless God, we come into the church house and we assemble ourselves together for the edification of the saints. We're here to help each other, bearing one another's burdens and fulfilling the law of the Bible. Amen. That's what we come in here for, not to be seen. We come in for the edifying of each other. Yes. And bless God, you're not doing that if you're tearing somebody down with a forked tongue. Yes. Indian said, man speak with forked tongue. What's that mean? He's speaking out of both sides of his mouth. He's saying, that Greg, boy, he's a good soul winner. He's a great Christian. He's a man of the cross. I can't believe that scallywag. He ain't worth a hoot. Now, one of them two statements I just said is true. I'll let you figure it out. Both of them might be. But you see, what I'm saying is that your speech changes, Brother Kenny. Man, God, when you got saved by God's grace, in times past, Robbie, praising God, saying, hey, man, preacher, preach on. That would have never crossed your mind. Let me tell you a joke. I'll clean it up. I know you're a preacher, and I won't tell the dirty part of it. I'll just tell you, get away from that. That man's going to lead you right into something. Amen. They'll tell you that, and then they'll say, let me tell you a dirty joke. Well, let me just tell you a joke. I'll clean it up for you. Save it for somebody else. Better yet, don't even tell it. But the speech changes. Chad, our conversations change. Get in the workplace, Brother John, you start talking about the things of God. As Brother David so found out, man, the people start getting a little wary. What's going on around you? What are you talking about? All I said was, man, the Lord showed up. What? The Lord showed up. What are you talking about? We got revival coming in this week. You ought to come by there. The Lord showed up. I don't want to hear that. They won't want to hear it. But your speech, if you get drunk and orderly, your speech, you get under the influence of the Almighty, it's going to change. The same as that man that had the one too many, the red eye, the inebriated, the intoxicated. That man really sometimes, Brother Joe, he doesn't know what he's doing. He'll drive down the road. He's hitting the rumble strips on this side. He's hitting the rumble strips on that side. He's driving the wrong way on the interstate, going the other direction. He'll be driving north in the southbound lane and hit somebody head on, and the whole family get killed, just as Brother Ricky Vile's brother did. He'll get killed. The innocents will get killed, but that drunk walks out of there without a scratch. I've seen that more times than I care to mention. Why? Because they're under the influence. My friends, when you get under the influence of the Almighty, Brother John, nobody's going to get hurt. Nobody's going to get hurt in that. Bless God, you can be drunk and orderly. You ever been drunk on the Spirit, Brother John? I mean, you just got all over you. I'm telling you what, Cindy and myself had been in a revival one night. I mean, we were coming home, and I believe Brother Claude Lloyd was preaching that revival for us. Man, it was just good. And we come up on a traffic checkpoint. I don't know if the trooper saw it in my eyes or what he saw, Brother Tam, but he got his flashlight about that close to me. He said, you've been drinking, son? True story. I got on a suit. I got my daughters and my wife in the car. I said, yes, sir. He thought I had. I said, I just been to revival. I said, I'm drunk on the Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. I've been drinking, but I've been drinking from a different cup. Yeah. But the first thing, Miss Ginger, is the speech changes. I'm not as thunk as you drink I am. You see something else that happens, Brother Kenny? Not only does your speech starts to change, Brother John, but your walk changes. You said, show me that in the scriptures. Look right here. Go on down below me. The Bible says let's go back over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. Look at that verse of scripture. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend the sayings. And then it goes on to say, and to know the love of Christ which passes, that you might be filled. There we go again, being filled with the fullness of God. And then in Romans chapter number 13, the Bible said, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, and not in strife and envy. For in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Galatians 5:16 says that if we walk in the Spirit, that we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what I'm saying is, not only do you start praising God and start, Brother Preston, telling about the good things of God, and your speech does change, but brother, there's another thing. They call that the heel to toe, and they go in, and the next thing you know, Brother Joe's over here, Brother Potts saying, how about walking that line? And the next thing you know, that man says, you know the words out of his mouth, Miss Jan? He says, what line? He said, Brother Joe says, walk that line right there. And he says, which one? Hey, what do you mean, which one? There's one parking line right there, the white line. If you'll just walk, he said, I'm seeing four of them. Well, pick the one in the middle and walk that. What I'm saying is, his walk is messed up. He's like this. He's staggering. Not only was his speech messed up, Brother Tam, but his walk is totally messed up. Man, if you get saved by God's grace, it'll change your walk. You won't go the places you used to. You'll start walking by faith and not by sight. And the next thing you know, Brother Tam, you'll start walking through a door of a local assembly somewhere. You'll stop that lie. You'll stop that being told, Brother Keith, that I can worship my Savior just as good as sitting at the house. Bless God, that's hatched out of hell. You can't do it. I preached a message here, Brother Lewis, some time ago that said some assembly required. Bless God, you'll go to God's house because His Word tells us to go to His house. And your walk will change, Brother Greg. You ever been under the influence of anything? Any foreign substances, alcohols. A lot of people in here, Brother Greg says, I have been. He ain't ashamed to tell it. Brother Woody, if he was here, said, thank God he took the bottle out of my hand. Amen. It's okay to have a past. Don't dwell in it and revel in it. And don't lavish in it. Just bless God, remember it, and say, thank God for what He's done for me. Amen. Many of you in here have been under the influence of the things of this world. But aren't you glad, Brother Tam, that when the Holy Ghost comes in and bless God, now we can now be drunk and orderly. Amen. Rather than drunk and disorderly. Yes. Aren't you glad, Brother Charles, that things change when the Holy Ghost moves in? It changes your speech, but my friend, it'll change your walk. Amen. Brother, I'm talking about, he'll put a little preach down inside of you. The man that wouldn't even stand before a crowd or tell a story from a book, Brother Tam, all of a sudden he's preaching God's Word. That man that wouldn't even get up in front of a crowd, Brother John, and all of a sudden now he's up there doing a great service for God, being an orator of the Word, very Word of God, and he's up there just bellowing it out. Amen. That's exciting. Amen. It shows me the power of God. Yeah, that man's speech will change and his walk will change as well. We're going to keep on moving. I want you to see a few things. The Bible says in that book where I just finished reading there, I was in Ephesians chapter 5 where it said, verse number 18 said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. But look up in verse number 15 right above it. It says, see then that you walk, that's the walk, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but are as wise. Amen. I'm looking for my ink pen. Brother Joe, did y'all ever do the nystagmus gaze? Come here, Brother Greg. You've already admitted to being there. There's a little trick Brother Ken and Brother Potts and Brother Joe would know. It's called the nystagmus gaze. It's an involuntary movement of the eye. You cannot control that. If you were a seasoned alcoholic, and I guess the greatest one that I ever had blew a .48, and Brother Joe says it's not possible. He didn't blow. They took him down and they drew his blood because I was in the service whenever I got that guy. .48. He drank when he got up. He drank when he went to bed. His body was so seasoned by alcohol, he was still able to function. But the eyes don't lie. The next thing besides your speech and besides your walk is your vision becomes impaired. You do this right here and you tell that person to watch the tip of your pen. And what you do is you move the pen. Don't move your head. Just move your eyes. And you move. Don't move your head. Just move your eyes. Just follow the tip of my pen. And what you do, you take it to the very furthest point of the peripheral. And then you bring it back across. And you bring it to the very furthest part of the peripheral. And the eye will sit there and it'll do just like that, won't Brother Joe? It'll just sit there. Go ahead, Brother Greg. It'll just sit there and twitch. That man, he can't control that. That's an involuntary reaction of the eye. We call that the nystagmus gaze. Now, you say, what'd you bring that up for? Bless God, when you're under the influence, I'm telling you what, you get a brand new vision. I'm talking about, Brother Tim, it affects your eyesight. Why? Because now instead of seeing Tommy the drunk, bless God, you see Tommy the young man that needs to be saved by God's grace, rather than seeing a dope head on a moped or a liquor sickle or whatever, a thousand things we might call them, seeing harlots and whoremongers and women of the night, and that would be this one or that one. Bless God, Brother Tim, Kenny, we start seeing them as one. Oh, my soul that's headed to a devil's hell that needs Jesus Christ. And once we do that, Brother Greg, it changes our vision. The thing that changes one man's vision being alcohol, in that he's got blurred vision. He can't see straight. He can't drive within the line. Brother Ryan, the same thing happened to us that are saved by God's grace. And bless God, whenever we get saved by God's grace and the Holy Spirit moves in, Brother John, you get a brand new vision, my son. I'm talking about you start seeing things in a whole different light. You start seeing people for who they are. That's a soul in need of a Savior. That's a soul in need of salvation. And the thing is, Brother Keith, sometimes they just don't know it. I'm serious, Timmy. Sometimes they just don't realize it. They've been in that their whole life. They know no different. Brother John, you said you were in your mid-20s before the Lord really revealed unto you. If we use that age of accountability, it's different for people. It really is. You say, well, it's about 6 or 8 or 11. Man, it's God, it's different for all men. Some of them might be mid-20s before the Lord finally just shows them. And whenever they finally get saved by God's grace, I'm telling you what, their vision changes. They start seeing the need to go to church. They start seeing the need to provide for their family, for their children. They see a need to start studying this blessed old King James Bible. They see a need to spend time in God's Word. Brother Dane, how does God speak to us today? Is He speaking through an audible voice into the ear of man? He speaks expressly, Brother Gerald, through His Word. That's why we need to spend time in His Word. And when you do that, Brother Greg, you'll see, when you get saved by God's grace, you'll see the need of that. You'll see the need of prayer, and you'll start to see things in a whole different light. You won't just see me standing up here. There's my little brother beating everybody up again. You won't see me up where the preacher's mad at us again. There's a preacher. He's mad at everybody. I'm not mad at anybody. I love everybody. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm mad at Satan for what he's doing to families. I'm mad that he's still putting into women's heart to cheat on their husbands. I'm mad of children being disobedient to parents because the devil's come in there and corrupted the little minds and hearts. Children are innocent, my friends, until they get around corrupt people. And then they start messing with them. Jenny, you love kids as good as anybody I know. We were talking about you yesterday. It was all positive. It was all good. About how that it really was. And you know what it was? I'll tell you. It was, pray that God might put it in Jenny and Keith's heart that they would step up and help more with their kids. Jenny loves kids. And we were talking, it was a positive thing. But the thing is, Keith, we don't see the kids and their, we don't know what they come out of. We don't know their circumstance. I was talking to Brother Bobby whenever Donnie was at the hospital. And Brother Bobby, being a teacher, he said that he had 4. He said he had 4, Keela, 4 in his whole class that had 2 parents in the home. Only 4. That's amazing to me. Much job, Brother John, you're going to start, your vision's going to be effective because you're going to see the need of helping these little kids. You're going to see the need to reach out to them and show them love whenever they might not have love in any other place. They may not get love anywhere except here. That's why it's important for us to keep showing them love while they are here. We're going to go somewhere. Go over to the book of Philippians. I've not turned you too many places. Go to the book of Philippians just for a second. I can't even find Philippians. I got it. Philippians. Folks, if you're still having trouble with that speech, you're still having trouble with your vision, you're still having trouble with your walk, you might want to check into why you're still having trouble with all the 3 above. Brother Ken, did you ever find anybody that was above the legal limit, which in the state of North Carolina is 0.08, if you don't know. It used to be 0.10, but that was too far beyond the ability to function on the roads. But Brother Joe, did you find a man that was 0.17 or 0.15 or 0.23 and then say, okay, here's your life back, go on, just be careful on the way home? You didn't do that. Pops, did you ever just let anybody that's 0.25 go on home and say, just be careful driving on home? No, you didn't. And you wouldn't either. Why? Because not only is he endangering himself, but everybody that that man would meet between here and there. But so many times we let people walk around lost and undone, going to a devil's hell, and we just give them a pass, they go on. Bless God, one thing was going to happen whenever those people were determined that their nystagmus gaze, their vision was wrong, their walk was wrong, and their talk was wrong. There's one thing that's going to happen. Keith, you know what it is? You do. What's going to happen? It's no more peanut butter sandwiches. When the iron... Go ahead. Yes, yeah, you're getting inoculated. Incarcerated. You're going to get apprehended. You said, is that in there? It is. It's in there. Look in the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, that I may know him. Boy, wouldn't you like to get to know him? Kayla, wouldn't you like to get to know him a little better? Not that you don't know him already, but wouldn't you like to get to know him? Paul, wouldn't you like to know him a little more intimately? Wouldn't you like to know, Brother Gary, that whenever you're going down the road in that big rig hauling the Chinese-made junk in your Walmart truck, wouldn't you like to know that everybody's out there is not intoxicated, everybody's on the same page, everybody's going to obey all the laws, everything's going to be hunky-dory? But how about in your spiritual law? Well, wouldn't it be nice to know that everybody pulls up when you get ready to drop a trailer and unload it, that everybody you're going to contact with is just going to say, Brother, God's good. Everybody gonna tell you how good God is. They don't do that, do they? We don't find them very rarely in this world anymore. But here it is. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. He goes back in the middle part of that one verse. He said that I might, it's in verse number 12, not as I have already been attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend for that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Bless God, wouldn't it be good during this revival week, Brother Ryan, if the Holy Ghost of God would come by here and arrest somebody's unworthy soul from a devil's hell and apprehend them by his grace and put them in his safe keep. Bless God, once he's in their keep, the one that holds the keys, the only one letting them out. And bless God, I know who's got the keys. I know who's got it. I know who's the strongest one. And Brother Robbie, bless God, the Bible said that no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Once you are apprehended or arrested by Jesus, bless God, he ain't letting you go. That's a life sentence. Aren't you glad for that? Brother preacher, you got a life sentence found in Jesus Christ. He arrested your soul, changed your walk, changed your talk, changed your ways of going. Bless God, saved you, apprehended you to keep forever and ever and ever. Ryan, are you saved by God's grace? You know what happened? He arrested your soul. Yes, he did. He said, you ain't going where you used to go. You're not doing what you used to do. Why? Because you're under my control. I have arrested you. I'm determining what you do, where you go, and when you do it, and what you eat. And what you ain't that what they do at the big house? We have two rules here at the Rock. Rule number one is what, Keith? Obey all rules. Bless God, this is our Holy Ghost rule book. Obey all rules. Get that copy of God's Word and dive head first into it, Brother John, and find out what the rules are. I've been arrested, my friends. I have been under the arrest of the Almighty. So if you still have trouble with any of that, let me just ask you this. I'm going to give you the definition of being under the influence. The influence is that capacity to have an effect on the character, the development, and the behavior of something or someone. As we stand and Brother Scott comes, I want you on this day to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says to be not drunk, Brother Tam, with wine, wherein is excess. Listen, some will say that's okay. You can drink a little bit because the Bible said just don't do it in excess. You find me one good thing that happened after the partaking of wine in your Bible, and I'll show you that you're an error when you think that wine's a good thing. The Bible said that wine is a mocker. It is. And strong drink is raging. And thereby those that take of that, Brother John, are not wise. Amen. What happened after Noah got drunk? You see what happened? I can take you down a path and show you what happened whenever wine was used in excess. The Bible says to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled. Be ye filled. Be ye filled. Sometimes, Brother Troy, we just want a little bit. We don't want to be filled. Just give me just a little bit of Jesus. Not enough to make me stand out in a crowd. Lord knows I don't want to be sanctified. You say, what's sanctified? Separated. I don't want to stand out in the crowd. I don't want to look different. I don't want anybody to call me a Bible thumper. I don't want anybody calling me one of them right wingers or whatever thousand other terms they place on us that consider ourselves Christians. Term a few years ago come right from the State Department of the United States government that we're just nothing more than Bible thumpers clinging to our guns and religion. My friends, I'm going to hang on to my gun and my religion. I'm going to hang on to my Jesus. You said, oh, the Bible said, Jesus said, that don't even take a sword for your journey. Don't take script or scroll or anything. He just go. I think he come back a little bit later and said, if you ain't got a sword, you better sell your coat and buy one. Ain't that what he said? Amen. Listen, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, get a little drunk on the Spirit once in a while. I'm talking about let him have control. And then it'll start to affect your speech and your vision and your walk and your talk. What have you got, Brother Lewis? Number 81, as we sing today. If you know